We've come virtually to the other side of the farm now, and we're fairly close to where the walkers congregate.
Yes.
When they come to the farm, which is a car park which is always full on a morning, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's full, particularly at weekends, and unbelievably successful. It holds about 20 cars. It's free to park here, and we're one of the high spots. So we've come from Arminghall. We're actually in Stoke Holy Cross at this point. We've left Caister sandwiched in the middle, and we're on one of the permissive walks, which is the part of the scheme, one of the prescriptions that I took up in the stewardship scheme that I did. And it started in 2006, inviting public onto the farm, which is a really challenging thing to do. And it finished in 2016. And around about that time, the government stopped permissive walking as part of the options that farmers could take up. They didn't deem it was really good value for public money to have public access. And at this point in time, we've just got two walkers. It's fairly early morning.
Morning.
Morning. Hello. Morning. Hello. Just walking past us and sort of going to do one of the squares around the farm. It's all sort of done into squares. The permissive access, as I said, there's now a total of 7.5 miles, and there's one further form of public access which we'll visit in a minute. Anyway, if we just walk on a bit further, you can see the second of the 20 or so seats that are out on the farm, and this one's the latest one I've put in, quite close to where the car park is. We're beside Chandler Road and Wash Lane. There's a little junction of two or three roads here.
Lovely solid seat, this, isn't it? Out of another old oak tree.
Yeah, it's an oak tree that fell down in one of the recent gales. Probably no timber value in it because there's a few faults in it. And what I do, I cut the top off it. It's quite a diameter. It's about 2'6" diameter, nearly 3 feet in places. So I cut the whole top off it, and then the bit that comes off the top, I put as legs on the end and fix it with big sort of diamond pins here, all riveted in, which I love doing in the workshop. There they are, 4 pins right through into the seat itself. And it will be here 10 or 15 or 20 years, and it's not been here a week yet. So no timber value in it. It is good as firewood, but to have a seat like this is quite something, and it's available at the back there for somebody to come and sponsor. So Rat's having a little dig. Anyway, if I just brush a few of the leaves off, you can sit there.
It's on a high point, so the view, let me turn around, is magnificent.
Yes, so you've got the hills and valleys of the farm. The farm still extends behind us further into Stoke Holy Cross, but you get an idea of the panorama of the farm. So it's a really lovely place to sit. You can sit and have a picnic here, or you can just watch the wildlife, or just sort of leave the troubles and the cares of this world right behind you and sort of try and link into the countryside. And it's something really therapeutic about it. So the permissive walks, and this one goes right in front of where we're sitting, they're all very wide indeed. They're not like the normal public footpaths you'd come across where you got to sort of squeeze sideways. They're nearly all 20 feet wide, and some of them down in the valley there are 20 metres wide, and we'll visit some of those in a minute, which is 60 feet. Looks excessive, but not. Just look coming up the hill. And this isn't sort of said, this is just a normal morning, a weekday morning. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people just coming up the hill, two groups there, just enjoying the countryside, and for health and education, it's a real winner.
And you have societies come here, as well as the individual walkers.
Yes.
People just come to walk their dog,
yes.
but also people who get together.
Everybody comes for a different reason. We've had proposals here, we've had people meeting and getting married because of the dog walking here. It's very social. Everybody comes for a different reason. Some people to be with their partner, some people to get away from their partner. You do have to laugh. And some people, there's one in the valley there, it's a very special seat. It's right by one of the streams which flow through the valley there. and you can sit there, and behind you is a little waterfall. The water drops down like 3 to 4 feet, and so it's a constant sound of trickling water. And that's my little cancer seat for anybody who's had a problem with their health, and particular cancer, when you get the diagnosis and you've had the treatment and you're feeling really poorly, and it's quite well known about, and people will come and sit there and just listen. And it's quite therapeutic when you're not feeling 100% or very depressed because of the diagnosis. So there's lots of different reasons. So the permissive walking finished in 2016 at the end of the stewardship scheme. And Daniel, my son, decided that we should try and keep it going, because we'd established all these walks around the edges of the fields. We were still in the early part of the scheme producing agricultural produce. And the funny thing is, when we took all the headlands out for the permissive walking, the yields actually went up per hectare. And I had to scratch my head about that one, because a lot of the crops were growing near hedgerows or near woodland, and people could walk either through the woodland or around the edges. And it did away, it allowed the rabbits to come out and feed on the grass margins and not on the crops. And so the combines didn't have to go near the trees or anything. And eventually commodity production ceased completely, and it all went down to wildflowers and pollen and nectar fields, overwinter wild bird seed cover, hedge planting, new woodlands all over the farm. So there's 4 areas of new woodland. We're looking down in the valley at young Scots pine and oaks and sweet chestnut, all self-seeded, and there's 2 hectares there. That's our successional area of woodland, and that is absolutely delightful.
That was just an arable field when I first used to come visit
here. It certainly was. The amount of times I've ploughed that and cultivated it, grown sugar beet on it, and now it's quite a well-established, because it's just coming up to 20 years old now it's been there. No planting by humans has been done at all. It's all courtesy of the local jays. Perhaps squirrels have had a hand in it, but the coniferous trees, which you can see out in the middle, the seed is blown over from those clumps of Scots pine we can see in the distance, right over the top of those big oak trees, and landed out there. It's feather-like seed, and yet Scots pine are quite substantial trees, and they've self-seeded out there, and they are absolutely delightful. And that's what everybody comes to walk and to see. You can see the future of young trees, older trees in the background, and you get a picture of the countryside is very like humanity. You know, it's all different ages and conditions. Some of the trees have got branches missing off them, and you can sort of link into the countryside in a very simple way to start with. So lots of people just standing at the top near the car park, actually a group of people doing exercises there now. So that's one of the many uses of the countryside, but it's turned into hugely pleasurable for me. We mow the tracks and so make sure they're really in good condition to walk on. And it's just a delightful way of visiting the countryside.
Well, it's a balm for the soul, isn't it? The fresh air, the sight of it.
Yeah.
And I think it's scientifically proven that if you spend an hour in the countryside, you will be doing yourself some good.
Yes, yeah, that's why I've...
that's why you're 158, isn't it?
Yeah, I look 158, yes. Steady on, Gudgeon.
Look at this hole that Rat's dug here.
Yes, he's underneath the seat, everybody. He's been digging. His feet are now covered in soil, which when we get back in the truck, I'm going to have a dry cleaning bill. And right, I'm just going to grab him, because 2 dogs are coming past in a moment, and he's already eyed those up. I can hear a sort of volcanic eruption from deep down. It's a kind of collie, and I don't know what the other breed is. There are a couple of sort of very happy looking dogs. Morning. Morning. Hello.
Morning. 99.9% of dogs here are on their leads, aren't they?
Yes. The 0.9, it's always the exception that proves the rule. Well, this is his territory, but he is very well behaved, except when he's not well behaved, which was just now.
Well, he lives here, doesn't he? So he's allowed not to be on the leash. But what I'm saying is most dog walkers do obey your rule.
No, look at this coming up the hill. A lady with two black Labradors and a sausage dog by the look of it.
In a very smart red coat. Are you jealous of that, Rat?
Yes, look at that. A coated dog. He cannot wear a coat because he's intent on going down rabbit holes, and even worse, he goes into the badger set, and there'll be roots down there, so he could get caught in his collar or his jacket. And because I think the world of him, he's protected by not having the luxury of a coat on. But you can see it's a hive of activity. So how does it work financially? Well, we'll go to our next spot, which is the sponsor walk, which is still permissive access, but it's one that you can actually sponsor yourself if you want to, and we'll see how that works, and then I'll put it all together like a kind of huge jigsaw puzzle all over the farm, which is exactly what it is. So there we are. Public footpath, permissive walking, and now permissive access, which is a third leg of the access to High Ash Farm and many places out in the countryside. So here we go.